found this morning that one, he is truly, and I say this in all sincerity, he is truly worthy. And at times, whenever I feel like that, there's nobody that I'm all alone, and I feel like that God is in a great distance away, there's somehow that he always comes to remind me that he is with me. And this morning, I don't know how long if this is a series or what, but this morning Pastor's going to be talking about the church, the body. And, you know, we are, over and over again, Paul writes to us, and even Jesus talked about this, that we are in a body. And a body, in Ephesians, he talks about how the body is fitly joined together, and that each part does its part. I mean, my foot does what it's supposed to most of the time. You know, my hands do what they're supposed to. My brain does what I speak to my brain every day and say, you will work properly and do what you were created to do. And so, you know, Paul over and over again tells us in his epistles that he wrote to us, his letters that he wrote to us, tells us over and over again, you will do your part because you are needed. And I want to just pick up in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Paul again is encouraging us that we are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. And you are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple. And your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets. And the best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up completely as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the holy of holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. I declare this morning that as Pastor comes and brings us the holy word, that we are going to hear with holy ears, and we're going to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I'd like to ask you to open it up, if you would, to the book of, we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. So I call this message today, I love my church, and just talking about the church and what's the purpose of the church. And Sharon took one of my passages, actually. Just what is the role? And, you know, and I realize that all of us, we come from different backgrounds, and sometimes we, in that background, we have church experiences that are there of what we grew up with. You know, I grew up United Methodist for most of my life, and in the church, and what the church was about was pretty much the pastor brought a message. We had a choir that sang. We sang a few songs that I didn't quite, wasn't able ever to hit the right key on. And it seemed either I was too low or too high. And then we had an offering during that service and some announcements once in a while. But there really wasn't a lot about outreach, about going out into the community, making a difference. We never really talked much about that in the 60s and 70s in the church. And along the way, I felt the call of God into ministry and what the Lord wanted me to be able to do, and of course go on the mission field. And I really struggled through college going to church. And the primary reason that I struggled going to church was that I didn't see the value of it. You know, I was reading my Bible, and I was reading about 10 chapters a day in my study time, and taking notes, you know, just very, very detailed notes of studies through the Bible. I was, of course, taking classes and playing basketball in college and all the different things that I was involved with, an FCA group, which was kind of my church, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, because I ended up leading that group and having an impact on a lot of other athletes through that. But I really struggled when I went to church because, one, I never really saw anybody I identified with. I never saw anybody that was like, you know, was an athlete or, you know, was a tough guy. I saw a lot of older people. All of the younger guys, there were a lot of girls that were there, but there weren't a whole lot of guys that were there that I could connect with. And so I just struggled with it. I mean, it was just a major struggle. And it wasn't really till Sharon and I got on the mission field that I actually made a decision that we need to do everything we can, even as missionaries here, to get involved in the local church that we're a part of. And, you know, our first church together was a Spanish-speaking church. And so we didn't know the songs. We knew because we sang pretty much the same ones every week, but we had them translated to us. But the messages, we really didn't know where they were going or what they were really into. We knew when there was an altar call that was happening because everything was in Spanish. So, but we committed ourselves. We got in a place that actually that we just said, look, we're going to do everything we can to help this church. And so we started cleaning the church. That was the first thing that we committed to do. Sharon was working in the office. And one of the things the Lord told her was to give up her paycheck and to be able to help the ministry there. So she worked in the office for no charge at all. We cleaned every week, and you know, we would pray while we were in the sanctuary there. We'd bring Greg and let him sleep underneath the something that was there, you know, a pew or something, and then we'd clean that building. And that's really where we really connected with the church, was once we got involved with it. You know, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that God doesn't call us just to go to church. He calls us to a family of people. And that a family, it says that he takes the desolate or the isolated and he places them into families. He puts them in a family of people. And that's really what the church was meant to be, was not just a place that we congregate and see each other once a week and sing some songs together and give our money and hear a nice message. But it was a place where we connect and have community with each other. God, the value of the church really is the community. You know, when I was in college, FCA, the Christian Athlete Group, that was my community. Those were my people that I liked to hang out with. Those were my people that I connected with. And those are the people I was growing together with spiritually, and that was really having an impact on my life. But the church that we, that Amazing Grace, and why I say I love my church is that to understand that, look, God called us to be a part of this church as a family, that he has connected us here. This is where we believe that God has placed his name for us, and that whether we agree or disagree with every decision that's made that's going on in the church, we still recognize this is my community of people that I'm a part of. I love that our church community is not just people over 50. I really do. I love that our church community is not just people that are over 60. That our church community really is people from all different age groups, and that there are lots of, you know, they always talk about the millennials and the Gen Zs and the different groups of people that are out there. All of them attend here. And all of them are involved, actually, in some aspect of ministry. And to me, that's a great, great blessing to our ministry here that we have that kind of a situation going on in here. You know, God calls us to be a family. And when you're family, that means you have responsibilities. There's just no way around that. You know, when you're a guest at someone's house, like I shared with you before, they don't ask you to wash dishes, and they don't ask you to clear the table, and they don't ask you to vacuum the floor or clean one of the rooms or to scrub the toilet. But when you're family, you have responsibilities. You're going to get asked to do stuff. And, you know, my parents, even though, you know, when I, it was always funny, my parents, when I would go to their house to visit them, even after I'm married and have my own kids, they would always say stuff like, hey, while you're here, right? Any of you have your parents do that? Hey, while you're here, there's a light bulb. You're tall. Go over there and replace that light bulb for me. And they didn't say, you know, we'll give you $5 if you do it. They said, go over there and replace that light bulb. Here, I'll give you the bulb. You can go over there and I'll watch you do it. So, but there were responsibilities. When guests come in the house, you know, typically when I come visit you at your home, you don't say, hey, while you're here, right? While you're here, could you clean the top of my refrigerator for me? But see, when we're family, there are things, there are expectations. And I think this is something that even really that COVID has really, the difficulties we dealt with the pandemic has really attacked in the church. And, you know, it was interesting, I came across this study that in 2020, faith communities did a study and they found out that the average church now is at 65 people. That's the average size church. And that's down from 137 20 years ago. So the average size of a church 20 years ago was 137. And they found just recently in 2023, after all the pandemic stuff, that the church has dropped down to 60 people on average. The average size of the building is about 200. We're a little big. We're quite a bit bigger than that, but this has 200 seats in it. So the churches all over America right now, the average attendance is about 60, people on any given Sunday. 20% of Americans attend church every week. So that means that 80% of Americans do not attend church every week. Some of them go once every other week. The average attendance right now is about once every 3 weeks. 41% of Americans are in a monthly church attendance or group. So it does double if you just go that they attend once a month. It was interesting, too, in the study that they found out that the biggest group that is leaving the church is the baby boomers, those who were born in the 50s and in the early 60s. And the reason they're finding that, and which I think at least, they don't really have a lot of answers to this, but it's down quite a bit in the churches. There are 16% of those people that have not come back to the church. Now, they might have visited maybe once a year, but they're not back involved in church. And I don't attest in being in the church as just that you show up once in a while. You're involved, you're helping, you know, serving, helping us accomplish the plan that God has given us. But I think the big thing is for the boomers, at least, is that they're the oldest generation on the earth right now. And for a lot of them, their systems are compromised, and so they're afraid that, you know, it's flu season, I'm staying away from church, there's little kids running around there with the flu. And so, you know, especially in a church like us, even ours, we've had people that are in that baby boomer group that they just really have not reconnected since COVID. And we try, we keep reaching out to them. They watch online, but online never is gonna do, and I'll show you this a little bit later, some stuff that's really gonna help you with this, but online community is not community. It's just watching a service, okay? I mean, what helps us is that when we watch online, we see people we know, right? We say, oh, the Norths are there that day, or the, you know, oh, there's Kirsten, or there's, you know, Rhonda and Paul. I see their heads or see them walk up and give in the offering or get communion. And so I relate to them because I know them. And so I'm comforted and it helps me in my spiritual growth that I see them. But it is not the full complement of what God has created us to experience by coming together as his people. Regular church attendance has steadily declined since the turn of the century. Churches are typically right now in the United States seeing an attrition rate of 10 to 15%. So that means it's on a steady decline. Churches are still recovering from pre-pandemic attendance losses. On average, American congregations are at 85% of their pre-pandemic attendance level. And I talk to pastors that are even charismatic churches like ours that they say that we still have quite a few people that just are not back yet. 16% of Christians who attended church pre-pandemic have stopped attending entirely, primarily that's that boomer group. And actually the fastest growing group that's in the church right now are the millennials. Those are the millennials. Those are our kids, my kids basically. And so they're the fastest growing. Some of them dropped out, but most of them are all back in the church. So what do we do with all this information that's going on? Well, one is to recognize that we have a problem that exists right now. And I think that the attitude is that, and why it's a problem, is because it is difficult to go someplace if all you're going there for is just to hear the music and listen to the preaching, because you're created for more than that. The body of Christ is more than just hearing the word and singing some songs. The church was made by Christ for community. It was made so that we would connect with each other. In Acts 2:42, it says that they listened to the apostles' doctrine, but they also had fellowship and the breaking of bread, and they prayed. And so there was a lot more going on in the church right from the beginning than just hearing the apostles teach doctrine to them, teach the word to them, or having a time of prayer. They actually had fellowship, and that was just as vital, and breaking of bread, because there is a supernatural connection that happens between believers when they come together and they're having fellowship. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, Now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and you are members individually. So we are in the body of Christ by God's own design. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but it is many. And so God calls us to a body of believers. He baptizes us by the Holy Spirit into the church. And so that's one of the key decisions you will ever make in your life. One of the most important decisions you'll ever make is who you're going to marry. Who you're going to marry. To me, that's one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. The second one, to me, is where you go to church. Where are you going to go to church at? And then if it is your church, what are you going to do with your abilities that God has blessed you with in your life? What can you do to help that church fulfill, to become part of the family instead of a guest or an attender or a visitor? What things can you bring to the table that will make a difference and help make a difference for the overall of what God wants to do? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom, as Sharon read this earlier, the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So what God is doing, he's got a greater purpose than just giving us you're saved now, you've got fire insurance, you won't go to hell, you'll go to heaven, just hang on until you get there. No, he puts us in the church so that in the church that we can grow and be discipled, not just so we can feel better about us, but the same reason that he causes the blessed life to happen, so that we are blessed, so we can be a blessing, so that we can make a difference. God, if God's made a difference in your life, then God wants you to make a difference in other people's lives. Amen. And giving's part of that, absolutely. But serving and getting involved in what's happening is just as important as you and I giving of our tithes and offerings. It was interesting that in this study that was done they used 1,002 American Protestant churchgoers and found that only 30% of them said that they were involved in their church. Only 30%. And we might be a little bit better than that, but the truth is that there are a lot of people doing a lot of things and a lot of people not doing much. And we all can do something. We can all be a part of we can all greet at the door, or we can all help carry the offering out, or we can all help count the offering, or we can all, I know there are things that we can't do because, like, you know, maybe your voice is just not in a place that you would do well up here on the stage, okay? or you don't play an instrument. Hey, that's okay. Nobody's going to ask. You can't give what you don't have. I tell you that all the time, but you just can't give what you don't have. But just like the egg packing that we're going to do, we can do that. Helping children, you know, providing snacks for kids on a Sunday morning to make a difference in their lives. I mean, these are the things that our ministry really needs help with. You know, our TV ministry and what we're doing through that online. Do you know that every week we reach between 500 to 800 people online? 500 to 800 online alone that aren't even in church. They're not going to church. They're just people that are connected to people that go to church here that are checking out your church. But we desperately need help in our media department. We're always, because it's not a glamorous position in the church. It's not, you're stuck on behind a camera, or you're upstairs working at a keyboard, you know, communicating with people that are watching. And I mean, it's not always that glamorous. It's not glamorous to change babies' diapers and to have them spit up on you. And it's not glamorous when kids come to church and they're fussy and upset and throwing a tantrum. It's not always great, but it makes a tremendous difference when we do our part. I wanted to read this to you. I just thought this was so powerful. I was going over in the last 31 years, that's how long I've been here. We've invested over $1,100,000 into missions, over $1.1 million into missions. We've given $160,200 into helping fight against poverty. We've given $137,000 in local evangelism. In salvation, just preaching in the last 31 years, we've seen 2,169 saved in prison. Okay? And if we just take a seven-year span of that, when it was really hopping, we saw 166 people coming to Christ every year in the prison ministry. Through Helping Hands, we've seen we saw 357 salvations, which is about 51 people came to Christ every single year. In our church alone, on an annual basis, we've seen, just in the services here, we've seen about 29 people a year give their lives to Christ. And I don't duplicate, so I don't, you know, I keep pretty good records on most things. And so that to me is pretty outstanding. But I can't do that alone. How in the world am I going to do that by myself? I can't do that. But here's the thing that really makes I'm grateful for the salvations, but here's what makes my boat really float. We've planted four churches in that period of time. We helped four churches get started, and that doesn't count when we were sowing into the Association of Related Churches, where we were on average starting 35 churches a year. We've raised up within Amazing Grace. This is out of our children's ministry, youth ministry, 15 ministers out of our ministry, all right? 15 ministries. Six of those are pastoring right now. Six of those are pastors. Nine of them became youth pastors. Five of them became children's pastors. Four of them became missionaries serving on the foreign field. That's 33 ministries in 31 years. 33 ministries that have been raised up, not counting all of the worship leaders that have been raised up through our ministry as well, through Chuck. But how did it happen? It happened because it was community. It was people working together. You know, I mean, look, I remember when Stephen and Dakota, who are awesome ministers of God, when they were in youth group and were a pain in the neck. And Stephen crashed into, I think it was Dakota shoved Stephen, or Stephen shoved Dakota, and they busted the wall going down the hallway. Now, look, I don't know how to drywall. We needed people to help patch up what these future ministers were making a mess out of, okay? But see, that's my point is that, look, and there's a whole new generation that's coming up. And you know where they've come? A lot of them have come out. They're coming up out of our children's ministry. You know that right now, and we should be so grateful for this, that right now, I just saw this statistic this last week, that they did a study of churches across America that have children's ministries, and only 18% of those church pastors, the children's pastors, have a biblical perspective that they're teaching those children. That's scary. That is real scary. But I know in our children's ministry, I know that in our children's ministry, they're being taught the word. That these kids just aren't being told stories, nice stories, or, you know, just we should all love one another, which we should, but then they're being taught other things like the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And they feel and they know, and what we teach in our children's ministry is you don't have to wait till you're 30 to be able to be used by God. So we've had kids prophesying to other kids. We've had kids laying hands on other kids. We had a story the other day of one of the kids. This is such a great story. So they were at the ball game, and their dad didn't attend church. And so he's sitting there ranting and raving at one of the referees about something. And his little girl that attends our church ministry, our children's ministry, walks over and lays her hands on him and starts praying over him. And he got mad at her. He said, "I don't need you to pray for me." So she just took a couple of steps back, but you could look up in the stand. She had her hand raised up and was just praying over. But look, they don't just learn that, okay, accidentally. That's intentional that that's what's happening. And so this ministry, this church that God called us to, the community that we're a part of, is more than just us getting our needs met, but it's us finding ways to be able to help others get their needs met in their lives. And it takes a lot. I mean, it really does. It takes a lot to do, it takes a lot to do what we do. We're not the typical church that's got 60 people in it. I mean, we've got about that right now here in just this service alone. And the second service will be totally packed out. And we're going to have to someday, you know, unless we want to build a new building, we're going to have to someday add another service to be able to facilitate all the people that come to church here. But we can't do that. We can't do that unless we have the team to make that happen. Or you're just going to wear folks out. You just wear them right down. So there are so many things that we can do. And so we see that it makes a difference. Look, that's what I want you to get is that what we have done is making a difference in the lives of people. I mean, more than just getting them healed and getting them saved and getting them filled with the Spirit, it's making a difference in the fact that you're actually raising up generational ministers. You know how Stephen's 31 now, are you, Stephen, right? Elizabeth, how old are you? 30. Becky, how old are you? 43, right. Dakota, how old are you? 29, okay. And Kara? Huh? You're 30. So, and then we just continue to raise generational. So you got a whole new group that's coming up out of our youth ministry that there are ministers inside that group, you know, that are 16, 17 years old, and we're helping them and our ministry is helping them find their way into ministry. I want to make, you know, there's an old phrase, and I truly believe this, that the question is, would we be willing to plant a tree we'll never set in its shade? But never be able to sit in its shade. And see, that's how we think is, well, no, I want to put a tree up, I can sit in its shade. Well, the generations that we're raising up, we may never even see them active in what they're doing, but when we're gone, we know what we're doing will continue on beyond our lives. But I cannot do that alone. Kathy can't do that by herself. Elizabeth can't do that by herself in children's ministry. Greg can't do that with media by himself. And so we constantly are having to keep bringing people in and having more people get involved. I mean, the churches that are growing in America, the churches like ours that are growing, actually they have a 55% or more involvement in the process of what they're doing. I mean, more than, you know, not the 30, but the 55%. So God is calling all of us to give our time, our talent, and resources to build his kingdom. I love what Galatians 5:13 says. Now, this is out of the Passion Translation. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do, expressing love in all that we do. God called us to take our abilities, whatever they are. You know, we have people from our ministry that are helping Mona and Tom with Heart of Saginaw, and I'll tell you, it's so commendable. And maybe all they're doing is folding clothes and putting them out on a table, or they're washing stuff so that people can get clean clothes, or they're cleaning up stuff so that people can get food or toys for their kids. But all of that is ministry of all of us working together to accomplish God's divine design for our lives. God's design for your life was not that you would end your days just being a church attender. That was his intent, always. His intent was is that you and I would be a part of a community. And if this is your community, then you should get involved in the community somehow. Find a way to do it. And you say, well, are you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you, okay? That look, I'm not going to pull any punches here because this is your church. This is, and if you love your church and you're glad that it's here, I mean, we're always glad whenever we've got a need going on in our lives, but, you know, something that we need the church to do to help us. But if you believe in what we're doing, then get involved in what we're doing. Help us be able to accomplish that. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you just a little bit, just to show you why God raised us up for community, serving together, working together, and helping one another. And if you have that slide, Greg, I'll have you put that up there. Yeah, and you can't read it. I can't read it even. So, anyways, this is a study that just came out post-pandemic. And so you see different things that it talks about that your brain has to have, okay? Your brain has to have for community, for connection. The top left one there is oxytocin. The one on the right is serotonin. The one on the bottom is dopamine. And the right one is endorphins. Now, endorphins is, of course, something you get in, you know, running and different things that get released. They make you feel well. But the study that came out, what they found is that, like, if you watch online or you are in Zoom calls with people, like some of you have to do Zoom with your work so you're not in an actual office, that what happens to your brain in its relational ability is it only releases dopamine in those kinds of environments. Because when you are watching something on a screen, it's only one-dimensional, right? Or it's two-dimensional, excuse me, it's width and height. So you have no depth to what's happening there. Even if you watch online, you still have no real depth to what's happening. You only have width and height to that. That's a two-dimensional environment. But what they found out is when people come together, like in this service today, your brain not only releases dopamine, but it releases oxytocin and serotonin. But that's the only place that it happens. This is it, you know, like... you remember during COVID when we couldn't come together and we're watching online, and it was helpful, but you still always walked, it wasn't helpful for very long because you have that no connection there. And really, that's what the enemy, look, I'm just going to tell you, that's what the enemy wants to do, is to isolate God, you out of, away from people. Because he knows that you were created and that your brain actually functions better when you're in a community environment with people that you like, okay? Hopefully you like the people here. And so that he knows, and you know, it's like the great line from Star Wars, if you ever watch Star Wars stuff, but the enemy wins by making us think we're alone. That's how the enemy wins. Well, that might have been taken out of scripture. Because God did not call us into the church so that we could exist as an island or by ourselves until the end. He called us into the church so that we could meld with everybody that's in the church, become a part of those people. Not everybody. You can't know everybody here and probably don't want to know everybody here. You know, the closest that we can ever get to is about seven friends, okay? Seven friends. People say, well, I don't know everybody at church. Well, you don't need to know everybody at church. Just make sure you know the seven you're hanging out with. I think it's better that we have people coming to church and we don't know who they are. Because it's a sign of growth. Amen. It's a sign that we're growing. But you know, when you're just watching online or whatever and you're not able to get into the community, you know, just like our men's breakfast we're going to have, there are going to be lots of guys here. We're going to be hanging out together. You know, they're going to be talking and laughing and goofing off and eating. What does that do? It's releasing not just dopamine, into our brain, which it desperately needs, but it's also releasing oxytocin, which makes us feel connected. It makes us feel connected. It releases serotonin. And if you look at these, you'll see on that list, I'm sorry I didn't have a bigger version of this, but anxiety is the result of not having oxytocin and serotonin. And right now in our world, we live in the most anxious society of all time. And we really don't have the worst circumstances. Right. Our forefathers, my great-grandparents, lived in way worse times than you and I are living in. Okay, way worse. You say, well, how could it have been worse? One, they were lived during the Depression. Okay, we don't have food lines out here that the only place you can go is to go get in a line. Two, agriculture took a dump because of the Dust Bowl that happened in 32 through 34. So the whole world looked like it was going to hell in a handbasket. But what was happening is people were coming together and they had community. So that when they recognize I've got community, I'm not in this alone. That's why we need the church. And that's why we need to be involved in the church, and we need to put our gifts and our abilities. So I asked a couple of our leaders to hang around today to be available. Kathy's going to be out, or Elizabeth will be out in the lobby. If you want to get involved, some part of ministry, we'd be glad to get you involved. Hallelujah. And don't wait. Do it today. Amen. If you want to learn how to run a camera or work, is that you up there, Greg? Okay, Greg will be down here and you can talk with him. And if you want to help, if you know anything about working with computers and you want to volunteer to run the big media show that we do, that'd be awesome. We'd be glad. Chuck always needs people to help with doing the big screen during service. There's audio stuff we can train you to do. But we need help on every single level of our ministry. You say, well, why? Because need is a sign of life. Dead things, they have no need. But a living thing like this, and I'm going to do everything I can to keep it moving the right direction, needs us. It's always going to have a need. There'll always be a need to be filled. Amen? So here's three questions I want to ask you today. Number one, what's God saying to you? What is God saying to you right now? Because I believe he's speaking. Two, what are you going to do about it? What's the next step that you're going to take? And then number three, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you and what you're dealing with right now? How can I pray for you to help you find that place where you fit, where you belong? And look, we want to do that here today. Amen? Chuck, are you doing this or who's doing it? Dakota's coming up. And I'm going to just ask if you'd stand with me right now. And I just want to pray a real general prayer here. But then I'll turn it over to Dakota. But you know, if you are struggling in an area, I've talked about different people that are available, that are here that you can connect with and become a part of helping us do what we do. If you want to help with the men's breakfast, you can talk to Dave May here in the back. Raise your hand, Dave. And Dave will get you connected up with that. Special events that we do, Jim and Connie, head those all up. These are people you're familiar with. And I'm sure I forgot somebody, but that's all right. Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, you had a great plan, and that plan was that we would not do life alone. That, Lord, that you place us in families. God, I'm grateful for my church family. Lord, I'm not just grateful for them when I really need them, but I'm just grateful that I always know they're there. Lord God, that I know that I have a place where I belong, Lord God. I have a group of people that pray for me, that encourage me when I'm down, that love me when I'm hurting, and Lord God, that give me a kick in the backside when I'm down and not moving forward. Father God, I thank you for that. I thank you for every one of them. And Lord God, today I just pray, Lord, that you help each of us, Lord, as we're trying to sort through, Lord, what is it you're saying to me and what is it that I can do? Father, I thank you that you are, by your Holy Spirit, directly speaking to their hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Dakota?